but he didn't favor him either. He had 8 weeks to turn all these pathetic civilians into Marines. For the first week, they did little other than run, march, and suffer through calisthenics from 5 in the morning until chow call at night, and sometimes a few more miles run after dinner, just to settle their stomachs. The changeling found it all fairly restful, but observed other people's responses to the stress and did an exactly average amount of sweating and groaning. At the rifle range, it aimed to miss the bullseye most of the time, without being conspicuously bad. It almost made a mistake at the gas mask training final exam. One at a time, the recruits were led into a darkened room where they had to wait until the gas-masked sergeant within asked you for your name, rank, and serial number. You gasped them out and then quickly put on your gas mask, saluted, and left. The changeling walked into the dark room and took a breath, and was almost overcome with an inchoate rush of nostalgia. It had forgotten, after a million years, that its home planet's atmosphere was similar to this, about 10% chlorine. The smell was delightful. The sergeant with the gas mask and clipboard let it wait for about 2 minutes. Then he turned a bright flashlight into its eyes.
"Are you breathing, Private Barry?"
"No, sir."
"Don't call me sir. I work for a living."
He kept the flashlight steady for another minute.
"I'll be goddamned. You swim a lot, Private Barry?"
"Yes, sergeant."
"Underwater, I guess?"
"Yes, sergeant." He paused for another 30 seconds and shook his head.
"Dang! Give me your name, rank, and serial number and put the mask on," the changeling did. "Now get the hell out of here before you puke all over me."
The changeling went through the door where the exit sign glowed dim green, enjoying the last whiff of chlorine trapped inside the mask. Outside, 20 men were sprawled around in various attitudes of misery, coughing and retching. There were spatters and pools of vomit everywhere. The changeling ordered his stomach to eject its contents. A friend, Hugh, came over to where he was kneeling and pounded him on the back.
"Jeez Louise, Jimmy, you must have held your breath 3 minutes."
The changeling coughed in what it hoped was an appropriate way.
"Swim a lot underwater," it said breathlessly. "God, don't that stuff smell awful?"
But the memory of nostalgia was strong. Where on earth could it have lived where chlorine was so concentrated in the air? Nowhere on the surface. That would be a good research project after the war. A lot of their training had a quality of improvisation, since much of the material of war had already left for the Pacific. So they learned how to work with tanks by advancing in formation behind a dump truck carrying tank signs wired to its front and rear. They carried World War I Springfield rifles and practiced with them on the range. Hand-to-hand combat training was a ballet of restraint for the changeling, who had been a remorseless predator for most of its life. It allowed the other trainees to throw it around and simulate dangerous blows. When it was its turn to be aggressive, it spared everyone's lives, knowing it could rip off one person's leg and beat everybody else to death with it. It was properly respectful to the sergeants and studied their individual ways with the men. Those techniques were more interesting than the coercive strategies of college professors, who presumably had intellectualized the process. The sergeants instinctively reached back into primate behavior, becoming the dominant male by shoving and punching and screaming. Anyone who resisted them was punished, immediately and then again later, with assignments, shit details, that were degrading and exhausting. The changeling did its share of those, cleaning toilets with a toothbrush and pulling 24-hour kitchen police, not, of course, because it had actually lost its temper or misread the sergeant's desires. Too much self-control would make it conspicuous. It had to play the game. Chapter 16. Apia, Samoa, 2020. Russ and Jack, especially, agonized over the contract, distrusting the government on principle, but unable to deny either the financial argument or the scientific one. They faxed it to their Chinese and stateside lawyers, and they agreed that it was what it claimed to be. They signed it on Friday, and on Saturday morning their work crew was suddenly tripled. Cargo helicopters.